no. These producers is driving me crazy here at the Geekcast Radio Network. Oh, what am I to do?
Your brain here. I like listening to Tooncast while trying to take over the world.
Hello, fellow geeks out there. It's that time again to listen to a podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network.
Alan, this species of cartoon has been extinct since 1998. I mean, these haven't been seen on TV since the golden era of animation. And what?
It's the Warner Brothers.
And the Warner Sisters!
He did it. That crazy son of a gun actually did it.
Clean vectored outlines, widescreen format.
These don't look like reruns.
They're not. I reanimated them.
We are gonna make a fortune with this show.
How zany are they?
To the max.
Boingy, 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 boingy.
Where are they going?
Home. Welcome to Animaniacs.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast here on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and it has been 1 year and 4 months since Optimus Solo and I recorded episode 230 of this podcast, where we introduced the Aftertoons era, and you can go back and listen to all that for all that information that's going to be coming up eventually here on Tooncast. But I am not alone. I am joined, as always, by Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Yo.
Yo. And returning from his self-podcast exile, making a grand entrance, is Thaddeus Plotz.
Ha ha ha.
No, it is Doug Abel from Talking About My Generation. Hello, sir. How the hell have you been?
I've fallen off the face of the earth and decided to come back. COVID hasn't killed me yet, so I'm still around.
That's good. Everybody stay inside. Everybody, unless you absolutely have to leave your house, do not.
Yeah.
You need to stay safe. I've known at least, I can count at least 10 people right now that I have known that have either gotten it or gotten over it. I don't know. Luckily, fingers crossed, I don't know anyone personally that's died from it. But please, everybody, take precautions, be safe for yourself and for everyone else around you.
Suspicious. Getting the test, and I'll tell you that, they touch your brain hard, but it feels like. At any rate.
Speaking of the brain, we are here tonight to talk about Hulu's Animaniacs reboot.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
I was dun, dun, dun when I got done.
Now, this is supposed to get 3 seasons, I think. Is that right? Is that what I heard?
2. They greenlit 2.
Okay.
And they are going to be doing the same with Tiny Toon University.
Yeah. But Animaniacs, we're coming from sort of from 3 different perspectives. Doug has only seen the first 5 episodes. I've seen it all. Steve got the preview, which was like 4 or 5 episodes, but Steve has also seen the whole of the 13 episodes since Hulu's Animaniacs got released. What I find absolutely hilarious is I watched this both on my computer and my phone at times. On my phone, in the Hulu app, 3 different Hulu logos pop up. The Hulu black and green originals logo pops up. You know, you're watching a Hulu presentation or whatever, and then a third, you know, this is a Hulu blah, blah, blah. Like, and then the Warner Brothers logo pops up, and I'm like, okay, how many logos do we get here? Like, come on. You don't need 3 different Hulu logos. If I'm watching on Hulu, obviously, I know where it's from.
Oh, you get that. I got it on my Apple TV where it starts off. I get the Warner Brothers logo. I get Hulu comes up after that. Then it comes up with a Hulu original.
Uh-huh.
And then it gets it in the contracts part of the intro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're not shy about, you know, self-promotion.
Yeah.
We'll get to like one of the episodes. I'm sure we're going to talk about that.
Absolutely. Now, how did... Okay, so all of us... Okay. When I was 13, from age 13 to 18, I was kind of out of cartoons. I knew about Animaniacs in the 90s, but I didn't actually... I actually disliked it as a teenager. I didn't really care... I didn't really know anything about it, didn't really care about it, didn't really pay attention about it when I was a teenager. Doug is slightly older than both Steve and I, and Steve is younger than both Doug and myself. So, Steve's the baby of the podcast here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Age-wise, anyway. So, but I eventually came around and I watched Animaniacs, I think at some point when it hit Netflix or I had, oh no! Originally, I had the DVD sets at the time, and I watched it on DVD. And I love the original show. I think it's a great, great show. It holds up. And it's not even, like, the thing for me with cartoons and with most visual media, it's not whether it holds up or not, is I view it in the time that it was meant to be. So, because it's going to come up eventually anyway, because every podcast we do on the Geekcast Radio Network has to involve Transformers. Transformers Generation 1 was done in the 80s. Beast Wars was done in the 90s. You look at it in that scope of that time. You don't say, oh, well, if this was made today... Anyway.
If this was made today, a lot of shit would have happened. A lot of different things would have happened. All right.
What was your experience with it, Doug, in the beginning, way back when?
Well, funnily enough, like, all my friends and I actually watched this show. You know, this was on while I was in high school. And it was, I remember, I actually had a friend of mine way back when, and this is going to really date me, I used to run a BBS. For those who have never heard of it, this is pre-internet, you know, pre-big internet. This was kind of the precursor to it in that you had a dial-up and everybody connected into your BBS, post-message and all that. One of the guys on there happened to be named, a guy by the name of Scott Watson happened to be named Yakko Warner. And he kind of got me hooked on the show. And we started watching, it was pretty soon quoting everything, you know, all of the, you know, Pinky the Brain things of, are you pondering what I'm pondering? And all the stuff at the end of each episode's credits, or not credits, running for the intro, and you have the different intros with, you know, Animani, I'm Lon Chaney, or something like that coming on. We all, that was great gag. You know, we all loved it. The fact that, you know, I actually, you know, we actually used it in geography. Our geography teacher loved it because he taught us the countries of the world from it and the state capitals with Yakko Wacko singing it. So, you know, we got to learn a little bit of that. It was fun, you know. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, what about you? What was your exposure to Animaniacs in the 90s?
I remember watching it shortly after, because I think it came out, what, after Tiny Toons?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Somewhere after that.
93,
see, I didn't like Tiny Toons as much. And so when this came out, I was like, oh, it's something new. And then I, of course, saw, like, Pinky and the Brain, and then I saw some of the songs, and I was like, I believe the first song I saw was Wacko Belching.
Oh, the great Wackerati.
Yes. So I saw that first, I believe, and that was just, as a, you know, younger person, like, it was hilarious. And so the whole object of it is you try and go around and imitate it. I never succeeded, but I can mimic some of the tones. But yeah, the show caught my attention with a lot of the skits. Like, there were, like, I liked the Good Feathers. I liked the Good Idea, Bad Idea. The, you know, the Chicken Boo. The the Slappy Squirrel. Like, there were so many different variety sketches in the show that I couldn't help but enjoy it, because the kind of the joke with it was, is if you don't like this particular skit or segment, wait 4 minutes and then it'll turn into something else anyway. So like it was fine with me, honestly. And there was so much that I enjoyed with not only the voices, but the fact that it was just so different. And coming into this one, I was disappointed to hear that it was only Pinky and the Brain and the Warner Brothers and their sister. And I realized that Pinky and the Brain got their own series for 3 seasons as well.
Right.
Although the 3rd season kind of crossed over with Tiny Toons a little bit with Elmira.
Yep.
And granted, I hated her character anyway, so it was just atrocious with that. But yeah, those segments, like I feel like with this show, they almost tried too hard with the Warner Brothers relying too heavily on them. And the Pinky and the Brain is kind of the middle segment, which is pretty much, you know, you get what you're expecting out of that exactly. And so that I didn't have a problem with per se. And I found some of those like laugh worthy because they did something new with them and they were able to use modern, you know, jokes with it. But I missed a lot of the old skit players in the program. They did do one callback in one of the episodes. I don't know if you've gotten to it or not.
Yes, he has. I made sure he watched that just in case, because that's honestly the highlight of the series.
To me was hilarious how it came out. Like, they're like putting the dots together and just how that whole thing came out with Chicken Boo and then the rest of them chasing him out of town, even though they didn't get voiced. A small part of me was hoping that they got to play their character again as they chased him out. I missed the variety. I missed the segments, the sketches, the good idea, bad idea. I loved good idea, bad idea so much that I used it in college in 2016 for an assignment. So, yeah, it was sorely missed.
Absolutely.
There was so much with this one that was just, you know, I like you said, things that were missing, obviously all the other characters. I mean, we did get the nod in episode 5 where we kind of get an explanation, but the whole, you know, even the joke at the very beginning of that episode where they're drawing ideas out of a hat, and it was kind of like, we're out of ideas. Well, you know, why the F-bomb did you know, why didn't you get some of the other things? Get some of the other writers that you guys had, put them out there. Have them come in.
Well, and the thing is with that is I was looking at Tom Ruger and some of the other people. They didn't even approach them.
Yeah.
they just left them high and dry, and I felt like the wit and the charm that was Animaniacs back in the 90s. It doesn't have it. It's too, and I'm not saying that, you know, like, because some, I could see where some would be offended by the, like the gun episode with the bunnies and the, you know, the Trumpisms that are in it, which they always made fun of stuff. I mean, they made fun of Bill Clinton 90% of the time.
Exactly.
He was president at that time. And so, like, I wasn't offended by that, and I understood it. Yes, was it a little bit annoying just because we've had it in our face for 4 years? Yeah, but yeah. But overall, like, I felt like they were trying too hard to make something that they themselves enjoyed instead of something that was actually just profound and really good.
I don't know who it was at Warner Brothers. I don't know if it was Sam Register. I don't know if it was anyone else. I don't even, you know, I'm not even currently looking at who actually is the CEO. I don't think Register is, but it's one of those things where I don't know what edict was passed down to say, you need to fill 30 minutes, let's say 23 minutes, with 5 characters, Pinky and the Brain and the Warners. Fill it all, fill it with whatever you can fill it with, make sure it's somewhat funny, or whatever, because here's the thing. This is my biggest complaint. There is not enough variety. You compare episode one of the new Animaniacs to the first episode of the original Animaniacs, there's at least 7 or 10 other characters in that first episode from the original show versus 5 characters here trying to fill time.
Yeah. That was my biggest complaint about it, too. Just, I felt like, you know, I kept like, well, where is Good Feathers? Where is Rita and Run? Where is Chicken Boo? I mean, yeah, we got an episode kind of explaining Chicken Boo, but where is everybody else? You know, this is, it's not enough. And
I felt like we in a way got gypped on part of the series. And let me tell you, having watched further in the, you know, the 10 episodes that they have, it wasn't, they had some high moments in some of it, but like a lot of the, you know, I'm trying to dance around this as carefully as I can, but
just say it. I'll put
a lot of pushing a lot of the things that they push the envelope with on purpose, like more so just because like it didn't fit, like they were trying too hard. Whereas like the old Animaniacs used to push the envelope too, but they did it in a witty way that you didn't realize what they were doing.
Right. And even as an adult, watching, you know, like, I forget when the original Animaniacs 5 volume set came out, the 5 DVD volumes came out, it was at least 10 years ago or more. 10 years ago, when I watched that for the first time all the way through, I watched all 99 episodes. I got every single thing. I laughed at the things you're supposed to laugh at. And for me, watching all 13 of these episodes almost all at once. I think I watched them within a day and a half. There were things I laughed at. There were things that I cringed at. There were things that I just don't think belong there. Or like, again, who's the target? Is it just the people creating this that are the target? Are they trying to? And they even mentioned this. We want to appeal to the, in the very first episode, we want to appeal to the dads because those are the people that grew up with the old show. Blah, 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 blah. Reboot, 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 reboot.
This is the thing, is I felt alienated.
Yep. I felt more in the vein of, I liked Pinky and the Brain back in the day, and I still enjoy the hell out of them now, but I was always more of a Warner person when I was watching it, kind of thing. At least when I was watching it, you know, 10, 11, 12 years ago. And now I feel like I've, you know, someone said this, that I think that adults, the adult us's have flipped, where we would rather, like, the Pinky and the Brain stuff made more sense to us than what the Warners were doing.
Yeah.
Doug?
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I know, one of the things that I looked forward to, and it was kind of a, I don't know, it seemed kind of weird to me, the episode where they were talking about women's rights, the whole Dot song that she did, and they're talking about Susan B. Anthony and Sojourner Truth, all the women that were fighting for, you know, women's rights and the right to vote. And then all of us fall off on this whole show of, oh, well, cartoon characters have to vote. And we have to see the whole Philip cartoon characters coming out with the Flintstones, Penelope Peril, and all that.
Good stuff, yeah. Yeah, again, like, I understand you want to make timely comedy, and the sad thing is, this was made 2 years ago. They even say that in the show. This was
dated.
Yeah, this was being written 2 years ago. Okay, half of the Trump stuff that's in here is, at least for me personally,
it's cringeworthy, but it's because a lot of it's like really dated.
Yeah,
I felt like that they could have found other things to make fun of, like they did. You know, they made fun of the news at one point. They made fun of, you know, some various other things, but I feel like there were more creative ways they probably could have done some of this. It's just that they kind of just did what they did because that's the show they wanted.
Yeah.
Well, some of the jokes that they did, one of the ones that I kind of cringed over, well, several things that I cringed over on the show, but one of them was with the Seth Meyers. And they brought out Seth Meyers, and they had that smug mug, and it was just like, and then he goes, I'll wait for you guys.
Yeah.
And you guys missed that completely. That wasn't funny at all.
You could be president. You'll get it. I'll wait.
And honestly, I don't find Seth funny. Karen finds him funny. I don't. I've never. Like, the only time Seth is funny is when he's putting on a vocal impression or when he's trying to do a character. Seth himself is not funny at all. Like, mm-mm. I cringe every time I see a section of his show. The one thing I want to bring up is the theme song, because there are some new lyrics.
It's time for Animaniacs, and we're zany to the max. So just sit back and relax, you'll laugh till you collapse. We're Animaniacs, come join the Warner Brothers
and the Warner Sister Dot.
Just for fun, we run around the Warner movie lot. They lock us in the tower whenever we get caught, but we break loose and then we're loose, and now you know the plot. We're Animaniacs, Dot has wit and Yakko yaks. Wacko packs away the snacks, our careers have made comebacks. We're Animaniacs. Meet Pinky and the Brain, who wants to rule the universe. A brand new cast who tested well in focus group research. Gender balance, pronoun neutral, and ethnically diverse. The trolls will say we're so passe, but we didn't matter first. We're Animaniacs. You should see our new contracts. We're zany to the max, there's glory in our slacks. We're Animani, totally insane.
Have no shamey.
Animani.
This theme song.
They changed Dot is cute to Dot has wit.
Right, Dot has wit. Our careers have made comebacks, which obviously our careers have made comebacks. We're Animaniacs. In verse 2, they say, meet Pinky and the Brain who want to rule the universe. A brand new cast who tested well in focus group research. Gender balanced, pronoun neutral, and ethnically diverse. The trolls will say we're so passe, but we did meta first. And then other changes were, you should see our new contracts, and here's the show's namey. Here's the show's namey was always there. I don't know why that shows as a changed lyric. But, and they obviously insert, you know, whatever they're going to insert into that. Here's the show's namey and blah, 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 blah. But this theme song is not. I hope they change it for season 2, but I don't think they will.
They won't.
I don't think they will, yeah.
It would have to change to put more characters back in. The whole slapping about waxing with their purse.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cut out. That was part of what was great.
Huh. Exactly. What else do we want to talk about with this? I love, and I will not say anything against them at all. It's not their fault. I love all the voice actors that did return.
The new animation.
Okay.
As far as like the Warners and some of that is concerned, some of the brighter, vivid colors, some of the cleaner lines. However, the short segments that they did, or the where they went off in different animation styles, like the borderline like CalArts thing, or the Powerpuff Girls almost type setup, and the anime. A lot of that just like. Particularly in some of the stuff where they're trying to show people like really gross or nasty looking, mm-hmm. they had almost a Ren and Stimpy vibe to it, which was
oh my!
And I was looking at this and I'm like, they literally are all over the map with the animation. Like I was kind of grossed out by it at the Ren and Stimpy stuff. It's like this stuff would I mean, granted they're rebooting it, so who knows what they're going to do? But I mean, it's on Comedy Central or something like that, but. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really care for any of those aspects.
I will leave it with that. There was two characters in there that if you've watched ever watched Ren and Stimpy, remember how close they and something John C. did later called The Ripping Friend, which a lot of it had, you know, a lot of that animation. And I'm watching it, and there was the whole Olympics episode that they did with that guy, and I'm looking at it, I'm going, shit, it looks like something straight out of John Christopher Lucy's Nightmares.
Yeah, it looked like Buttertoast Man with a human form.
You know? And I went, oh, God, cringe. That, and then the Odysseus bit. And there's... I'm going to talk about this because it... really just unnerving seeing it. He stands out there, and he's singing off the front of the bow of the ship with pulls his arms up, trying to make a joke about having hairy arms and all his hair. And I happen to look, and there's a bit... throughout the entire thing, you see a bit of, I'm going to say it's his pubes because of how low it is, where he's both popping up on the top. I'm just like,
aww. That was bad. Yeah, I found so much cringe in the show when it was the Animaniac shorts as opposed to when it was the Pinky and the Brain. The Pinky and the Brain, I felt like, was the most stable and coherent out of all of it. And those were the few segments I could stand to watch all of it. Yeah, some of it was a little bit repetitive in certain elements, but it was you pretty much knew what you were getting because it's Pinky and the Brain. And what was the other thing I was going to say? I did notice that they sprinkled in voice actors occasionally from other things. Specifically, when they had the Olympics and Dot was on the unicorn. That was John Bailey. I don't know if you're familiar with him, Doug, but Honest Trailers guy. He played Optimus Prime in the one of the War for Cybertron things by Machinima, one of the seasons, I think the second season of it. But he was doing basically an Optimus Prime in that moment. So
I thought it was Peter Cullen for a second. I'm like, no, that doesn't sound like Peter Cullen.
That was John Bailey. I know the dude's voice.
Yeah, John Bailey was Pegasus. Diedrich Bader was Odysseus. Wow, Batman as Odysseus. Okay.
Man.
Oh, Phil LaMarr had a no-name part.
Yep. So, I mean, honestly, the voice cast wasn't my problem. It was a lot of the animation all over the place, and then the jokes just fell flat. Like, it could have been so much more profound and intelligent on a writing level had they had the original writers back.
Well,
and that's no disrespect against the actors or the people doing the music or any of that, because what they did was well for what it was. But yeah.
Well, did you guys know that Wellesley Wild, who is one of the executive producers of the show, apparently, I guess he's got big ties with Family Guy, and so
yes.
I'm kind of like, that's probably why I'm feeling more of this kind of gross, weird humor that just doesn't quite fit. I get it. They're trying to bring in something for the 21st century, but it didn't work.
No. Okay, so I'm looking at the credits on IMDb. You know, and it does list Wesley Wild, and it lists Timothy Nash and Jess Latcher and all these other people I've never even heard of. I'm not a Family Guy person. That's great if you are, fine, whatever, it's not my thing. But, like, he's listed as developer for 8 of the 13 episodes. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess, sure. And Tom Minton, who was one of the original people, is listed as developer unknown episodes. Ruger is listed as characters, unknown episode. How do you not know that there are 13 episodes for this?
Well, like, IMDb doesn't necessarily have to be accurate.
True.
Because they were never really approached. They put them for characters because they created the characters and they developed the original show.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with this new version, though, but they have to credit them because they created it.
Yeah. The other thing I don't like is, and it's not because... it's because it was... it was not zany enough. It's not because they put a female CEO. But you look at Thaddeus Plotz and Dr. Scratch and Sniff versus the Warners, and you look at this new thing with the female CEO.
She's just annoying.
She just doesn't want to have anything to do with them at all. Like, she's not even worried about them. And I'm like, hello, that's the point. That's the premise of the Warners. You're supposed to be more. And the fact that Scratch and Sniff was only in one episode, that made me mad. I do like, however, that he said, and I love this, like, yes, we had the character thing at the end of episode 5 and all of that, but Dr. Scratch and Sniff actually said, I should have gone to Doctors Without Borders with Hello Nurse. Like, I like that we actually got an explanation of why Hello Nurse is not there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must have missed that particular episode or that segment of it where he talked, because I did not see that.
Really?
Yeah, Scratch and Sniff?
Yeah, I didn't. Is that episode 13, I think?
That's why. When I watched on Hulu, like the first time I watched, they had 5 episodes. When I watched the second time, they had 10. There were 3 episodes missing.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, go back and watch episode 13. Not that we're going to come back to this or anything like that, but just for yourself so you can see it.
So I got to watch 11 through 13, but Rachel McFarlane, Seth MacFarlane's wife, plays the boss.
Oh, okay. Alrighty then.
That explains a lot.
I'm kind of wondering why they have Dr. Scratch and Sniff in more, because Bob Paulson voices Dr.
Exactly. That's
well, and he fits really well with the Warners.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, a lot of the stuff back in the 90s, they had multiple episodes, like with him talking to Ronald Reagan and figuring it out. Ronald says, "Oh, I want to be a president." You know, this is all supposed to be back in like the 60s or 70s, whatever, before he was actually president. That was a joke. You know, why not pull them in? And it's not like they couldn't go on with Scratch and Sniff. Why didn't they? I don't know.
Overall, I think all three of us, I'm not going to speak for us, but I think what I'm getting is that we're fine with the fact that we've seen it, but it's probably not something we're going to go back and watch again. Who knows if any of us are actually going to watch season 2.
I'll watch season 2 because I'm a glutton for punishment. It's the same reason why I watch all the new Star Trek shows, even though I can't stand them.
I'll probably be the same. I'll watch it to see if we get any new characters, because I'm really hoping they'll bring back some of the others. But I'm just kind of like, I don't have high hopes.
So you mentioned earlier about Rita and Runt. Well, I know Frank Welker is still alive. Hell, Frank Welker was Ralph, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Ralph the Guard.
Yeah. So I know Frank is still alive. During the process of us recording this episode of TimCast, I looked up Tom Baudette and Bernadette Peters, because Bernadette Peters was the voice of Rita. They're both still alive. Bernadette Peters is like 72 years old. I don't know what her health is, but they're both still alive.
I'll tell you this. Bernadette Peters looks great. I happened to see her on... she showed up on an episode of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
That's right. I remember that. Yes.
It's great. Singing. I'm going, oh my God, Rita's still alive.
That's right, I remember that episode. Yes, absolutely.
This mind control filter is never going to work if nobody sees it. Duh. Go home, no. Pinky, do something. And these scouts. Adirondacks. No, not the Himalayas. Yeah!
I know we've all watched various parts, and Steve needs to catch up and Doug needs to watch the rest, but I still want to use the GCRM Universal Rating Scale, which is 0 to 5 stars. I personally probably am going to give it a 3. It's a 2.5 of 3 for me because it just lacks that extra variety.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same, and I'm going to give it a 2.5, 3 on that. I'm hoping it gets better, but I'm not holding a high candle for it. And the fact that, you know, on my Facebook post that I made earlier today on this, shortly before, while we were actually going through this recording, Tom Ruger actually happened to see my comment and was not happy. Yes. He actually posted an angry face. So I completely understand that, because he was left out of all of this.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. We got a chance to interview Tom for the first time
Last year.
Last year, yeah.
It was this time last year, I think.
Yeah, it was this time last year, actually. And he was so nice.
He was awesome to talk to.
He was so fun to talk to. Go back and listen to that interview, folks. I'll put it in the show notes here for this episode of Tooncast. I almost said Tooncast Beyond. I forgot what show it was on.
No, but I mean, I had so much fun talking to Tom last year about Animaniacs and all of the various shows that he's been a part of. And you could just tell the love and the inspiration poured out of him about it. And to not include him or the other writers is kind of a disservice to the program.
Well, and it really hurts because I remember I went up to see an Animaniacs Live that they did in La Mirada several years ago. And this was like they were just starting to take off with this whole Animaniacs Live thing that Rob Paulsen was doing with some of the cast. Mm-hmm. And they had Chris Arnell, they had Tress McNeil, they had Randy Rogel, but there were a bunch of people that were in the audience. I saw Andrea Romano there. Tom Ruger was actually sitting three seats in front of me, had I known, I would have said hi, you know, to him. But all these people, and like Tom got up and he's waving and everybody's like, he was very proud. He showed up wearing a Tiny Toons cast member jacket, like leather sleeves.
Awesome.
And I mean, he was just so proud of it, and he was so happy to see people performing the songs and the theater being full for all these people who've grown up watching this stuff. And now to be left out of this, it's like, man, that's not just a dagger to the heart. That's, you know, you put a sword in it, you twisted it around, pulled it back, shot him with it.
It's like basically shooting somebody with the Eye of Thundera or something.
Yeah.
It was just horrible, like, how they did that to them. And then they tried to say that they included them, and they're like, look, we've never heard anything about it until we caught news that it was coming, and then our agent was trying furiously to get a hold of them, and they're like, look, you're not going to be part of this.
That's ridiculous. One thing before we go, only because I feel the need to comment on this, as this episode will be out soon for Tooncast. It's been confirmed through Twitter and through some production people or whatever else, but I have a post here from Thundercats Now. Thundercats Now can now confirm the controversial and divisive show Thundercats Roar has been canceled by Cartoon Network. Thundercats producer Marley Halpern Gracer announced on Twitter the upcoming December 5th Christmas episode will be the series' last. Oh, Lord. I hope Warners can do something better with Thundercats, because that show, I watched like 5 episodes of it, and, you know, Steve mentioned earlier in this episode the CalArts style. Oh. I miss traditional animation.
Amazing World of Gumball should not be Thundercats style.
No,
it should not.
You know, yeah, that's a whole other topic. Sorry, I wanted.
Yes. All right, coming up next time on Tooncast, episode 232 will be our Christmas 2020 episode, because we all need something fun here in 2020. And Steve and I are going to be talking about the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special that was on Disney Plus. So very, very cool. I'm so glad we have a holiday special from Star Wars that we can actually watch and enjoy. Because nobody wants to watch Wookiee porn. Stop it. Doug, where can the people find you online, sir?
Oh, I've been hiding. I'm out there on Facebook. Find me there. I still have a Twitter account, @FBRZOUT. And talking about My Generation, still out there. I still have it at MyGenerationPodcast.com. So you guys can go check it out there as well.
Awesome. What about you, Mr. Megatron?
Well, they can find me on Twitter at SCP-21.
There you go. All right. I am at TF2 and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at TCast Radio for the network updates, at GCR and Tooncast for the show updates. I almost, again, I was going to say at Tooncast Beyond. You can follow there too, because I post pretty much the same content on both of them, even though Tooncast Beyond is now dead. Since we're back to Tooncast, all tunes all the time, 24/7. Star Wars Lego Holiday, Lego Star Wars Holiday Special coming up next. After that, who knows? Because originally, episode 231 to 249 was all going to be Scooby-Doo stuff, because this was supposed to be recorded last year during the 50th anniversary of Scooby-Doo. Oh well. Make your great escape into cartoons, and we'll catch you next time here on the Geekcast Radio Network's Tooncast.
So it's agreed. In today's episode of Animaniacs, the Warners will torment a narcoleptic
dairy cow, who's also a
vampire. Hey, this is am I kidding? Face it, guys, we're out of ideas.
It does feel like we've been doing a lot of the heavy lifting in this reboot.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Yeah, didn't the show used to have more characters? You know, you're right. Whatever happened to Rita and Runt, Minerva Mink, the Hip Hippo, Steven Seagal, Chicken Boo, Buttons, Walter Wolf?
The God Pigeon, Stink Bomb D. Bassett, and Beanie the Brain Dead Bison. Just three cartoons remain, and my Animaniacs collection will be complete.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes time is going to be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Vane, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Yay! Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Hello, I'm Yakko Warner. And all joking aside, reboots are symptomatic of a fundamental lack of originality in Hollywood. A creativity crisis fueled by terrified executives clinging to the past like rats to the debris of a sinking ship.
Yeah, have you no shame?
Here's your check for the Animaniacs reboot, you sellouts.
Yeah, but when we sell out, we know we're selling out, so it's cool.